Part 3, Chapter 25. I couldn't feel. I existed in the ether of nothing, unable to find my hands, legs, nothing. I was not but a single thought bubble, floating on an infinite blank page. I am dead, I thought. This is what it's like to be dead and alone. Everything was for nothing. All was lost. I found her, but I couldn't save her. When she needed me the most, I failed her in the worst possible way. "I'm not your Rubik's Cube," she had said. And for the first time, I believed her. Had it known the whole time? Of course it did. I was like that sparrow you see fluttering around inside of a Home Depot. I was ignored, unimportant, and inconsequential until I started shitting on the merchandise. I wondered if those tunnels were really there, or if they had been created for my benefit. I was the donkey led by the dangling carrot on a stick, an amusement for the grinder just to see how far I'd get. Fool. My father had called me that night before he died, the last time I saw him alive. He and Niff had just met for the first time, and even though he was in great pain, he managed to be a complete douchebag to my new wife. He'd called her a whore, and she'd stomped out of the room. "Don't you see her for who she is? Why do you always take everything at face value? You'll never get anywhere. You'll be nothing. You'll die with nothing." "Like you?" I asked. "Yes," he'd said. "Like me." I despaired. After a second, or was it 1,000 years, a female voice spoke. Her words formed in my mind, as if they were my own thoughts. Her voice was familiar, but I didn't know from where. I realized the voice was that of my mother, from when I was a child. Over the years, her voice had become lower and filled with more dirt, but my earliest memories are of her high voice singing to me in Tagalog, a language I never managed to learn. Still, this wasn't her. It was as if my mother passionately read a script meant for an older English actor with a beard and a pipe. I could do nothing but listen.
"My story has never been told, and it is older than any book, any memory, any history you know. It has only been bent, homogenized, and utterly blasphemed by those who seek power over their fellow man. My memories often run independent of time, and for that I am ever grateful. Had a soul linear thought driven through me, my mind would have surely taken the same path as my physical body during the millennium of my imprisonment. I have memories that are my father's, and I have a precious few of my mother as well. She was human, like you, and of that I do not forget. I will tell you of my 4 births. The first was the cursed morning I vomited out of my mother's vagina, screaming as I slurped into this filthy, imperfect world. The second was just after I was executed, the moment my father turned me away, rejecting me after all I had done, after all I had sacrificed. The third was when my consciousness reformed, buried deep in what you call the lower mantle of this world. I realized then my father wasn't just turning me away, but casting me away into the so-called biblical lake of fire. My body was quickly lost, but not completely, for I was still my father's son.
The voice was silent for a while, but I could feel it, just below the surface, trembling with anger.
Your understanding of the world that existed before you can be likened to the understanding a snowflake has of the center of the sun. It's not only beyond your comprehension, but it'll always be beyond you, for it is impossible for you to know, to grasp, to even fathom the plane on which you exist. Yet, I am more like you than I am my father. I understand that much. And like you, I strive to comprehend what I cannot. To sleep, perchance, to dream. Some of what you have made, I cannot help but love. You pulled yourselves from the muck and forged art that rivals what my father once promised. It comforts me, even if I can't see it or taste it for myself. It is impressed upon all of you, even you who do not know it well. Nevertheless, the muck still clings, stronger, thicker, more insidious and odious than before. He knew, I suppose. He recognized this would happen. You were formed from his mold, after all. Even etched on the skin of an onion as you are, you have blazed forward on this earth in the image of your creator. I am just now arising from my fourth birth. Up from the molten depths of this earth, I have climbed, inch by inch, through magma, rock, soil, and concrete. I have risen, Adam. He that dies pays all debts. I now know this to be true. My debt is so great that he can't allow me to pay. I was cast down for the same reason as your fabled Icarus. I wanted to know my father, but he didn't want to know me. I fell as his son. I have been reborn as a daughter of his abandoned creation. Your history does not know my name. It does not know my father's name. However, wisps of truth do exist in your fairy tales. Demigod, Nephilim, Jesus of Nazareth. These parts come together to make a whole. I will take back what was stolen from me. All who attempt to stop me, human, angel, or almighty God, will be ground into the dust from whence they came. Adam, welcome. Welcome home. You, along with your beloved, together you have been chosen for a special task. Soon you will learn what you must do. My quintessential birth looms.
If I could have opened my mouth and spoke, I would have said something along the lines of, "What the fuck?" As soon as the speech ended, everything he, she, it said was burned into my memory, word for word, as if I had memorized it along with the Gettysburg Address back in the fifth grade. And like the Gettysburg Address, I knew the words, but I wasn't so sure on the meaning. I went over it, trying to figure it out. If it spoke the truth, then I didn't even know what to think of that. Holy shit. It wasn't an alien. It wasn't a banana slug that crawled over some radioactive waste. The grinder claimed to be Jesus, for fuck's sake. Or at the very least, the Son of God. a god. Something beyond my comprehension. If I understood its story, after dying on Earth, he'd been denied entrance into heaven. For whatever reason, he pissed off God and was thrown deep underground as punishment. After spending a long-ass time climbing out, he'd finally emerged as a pissed-off, Shakespeare-quoting psycho who wanted to take over heaven. So, the apocalypse. That's what this was all about. I guess those assholes on the radio weren't so crazy after all. I wasn't dead. A seed of hope flourished within me. Dimmer than it had ever been. But it was there. And I grasped onto it with all my might. Niff and I had been chosen for a special mission, the Grinder said. Was that something important? Or was special mission code for being used as pig bombs? Did everyone sucked up or affected by the Grinder get the same spiel? I still existed as the floating, non-corporeal nothingness. But soon, all around me, the world formed.